Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, this episode of the podcast is sponsored by iTalki. And one thing that we all know is that if you don't use it, you lose it, which basically means that if you're not actually using your English, if you're not speaking, if you're not talking to people, actually engaging in communication, in conversation, that's the word I'm looking for. If you're not actually engaging in conversation, then you don't really make proper progress. It's all good sort of doing exercises and regularly listening. That's very important. But really, you've got to activate your English. And you can use iTalki to do that because basically they will put you in touch with a teacher or a language partner or a community tutor who you can talk to on a regular basis from the comfort of your own home. With this technology, it's now much easier to actually get that speaking time into your life. So check it out. And remember that if you buy some lessons, iTalki will send you a voucher worth about $10. So it's worth it. Have a look. Go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, welcome back to Luke's English Podcast, this podcast for learners of English, hosted by me, Luke Thompson. Hello. The general idea of this podcast is to help you to improve your English by providing you with content to keep you listening regularly for longer periods of time to authentic English as it really is spoken. Sometimes I teach you things on the podcast, and at other times I play conversations for you to follow, like in this episode. This one is entitled 36 Questions That Lead to Love. 36 Questions That Lead to Love. And in this one, you're going to hear the tangential trio of Amber, Paul, and me talking about this set of 36 questions, which was compiled by a group of psychologists as part of a study into interpersonal closeness or intimacy between people. Amber first found out about this in a podcast published by the New York Times. And here is what the New York Times website says about this study, which is where the 36 questions come from. So this is what the New York Times says. The study by psychologist Arthur Aaron and others explores whether intimacy between two strangers can be accelerated by having them ask each other a specific series of personal questions. The 36 questions in the study are broken up into three sets, with each set intended to be more probing than the previous one. The idea is that mutual vulnerability helps to create closeness and intimacy. To quote the study's authors, one key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship among peers is sustained, escalating, reciprocal and personal self-disclosure. Allowing oneself to be vulnerable with another person can be exceedingly difficult, so this exercise forces the issue. Do I need to explain any of that language? Let's see. Intimacy, I think you know what that means. That's like personal closeness between people. And apparently intimacy can be accelerated, it can be sped up by having people ask a specific series of personal questions, which were designed by these psychologists, the 36 questions. They're broken up into three sets. Set one, set two, set three. Each set is intended to be more probing than the previous one. If something is probing, it means it kind of goes deep into something. Like, for example, a space probe probes space. It goes all the way out into deep space and finds information. A probing question is a question that goes deep into an issue or deep into someone's personal feelings or something. So each set of questions is designed to be more probing than the previous one. And the idea is that mutual vulnerability helps to create intimacy. Vulnerability. If you're vulnerable, It means you're exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. So it's essentially, if you're vulnerable, it means you've got no defences, let's say. Okay, so vulnerable means no defences. So vulnerability is the noun of vulnerable, the adjective. So the idea is that mutual vulnerability, that's where both people drop their defences, that this helps to create intimacy. And the author said that one key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship among peers, as people in the same social group, probably of the same age, one key development of a close relationship among people is sustained, so something that lasts a long time, escalating, that means it gets higher and higher and higher, reciprocal, that means both people do it, not just one person, and personal, we understand that one, self-disclosure. Self-disclosure, that's when you show things about yourself that were previously hidden. So the idea is that the more stuff you show about your personal life, the more feelings and thoughts and things that you show over a longer period of time, and they get more and more personal, and if the other person is doing it too, that's a key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship. It's like when you get together with someone for the first time, a girlfriend or boyfriend, you start to disclose things about yourself, and so does the other person, and this kind of, you know, is a mutual thing, and it gets like higher and higher with more and more disclosure going on until you reach a point where you've got like total intimacy with each other. And that's kind of like the key to developing a close relationship, is that you're basically sort of revealing things about yourselves. And that's often the most fun part of a relationship, in like the early days when you're kind of exploring what the other person is really like and talking about your innermost feelings and things. It's a key part of developing a close relationship. And allowing yourself to be vulnerable with another person can be difficult. So this exercise is supposed to help, basically. So the questions are now used to help build intimacy or personal closeness, typically between couples that want to fall in love, but also between anyone looking for ways to find out more about each other and to develop a closer or deeper relationship. Amber's going to tell you more about it in a moment. These 36 questions are available for you to use or read online at newyorktimes.com. You'll find a link on the page for this episode. So in this episode, you're going to hear Amber, Paul and me asking each other those 36 questions. And let's see what happens. What do you think is going to happen? Will the questions bring us closer together? To what extent will the intimacy level between us rise? Will these questions make us fall in love with each other? Or will we just learn weird truths about each other that we didn't know before, that will disturb us, ultimately causing us to drift apart as friends, and then Amber and Paul will never appear on this podcast again. So, you know, will we get closer, or will it somehow push us further apart? Will these questions help you to get to know us more? And what could be revealed by this set of questions designed by psychologists to become more and more intimate as they go? And is it possible for three British friends to take the whole thing seriously enough for the questions to have the intended effect? Well, you can now listen on to find out more, and here we go. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah. Okie dokie, Amber.
Yes.
36 questions that lead to love.
Yeah.
What's all that about then?
Well, I was listening to a podcast, Modern Love, which is run by the New York Times, I think. Okay. And this woman was on there talking about the 36 questions which lead to love. And it was this experiment done by a scientist about, you know, could anyone fall in love, or, you know, with certain, you know, a bit of interest, could you love someone? And he creates these 36 questions that you're meant to ask these people, and then at the end you fall in love.
Right, so it's a series of questions that are designed to help people fall in love with each other.
Yeah, or to kind of create intimacy.
Okay. Do you agree with that? Do you think that you can just fall in love with anyone? If for example, you have the right social interaction, that you will fall in love with anyone?
No.
So you don't, you fundamentally disagree with the,
I don't think
the hypothesis of the project.
I don't think you can fall in love with anyone, but I think, well, certainly how she did it. So she goes on a date with someone. So they're obviously interested in each other enough to go on a date.
Right.
And then she does the 36 questions and they do end up getting together and having a nice relationship. So I think if you are interested in someone and you perhaps do the 36 questions, it could be a good way of seeing if you're compatible.
Yeah. I think the idea of it was more like, here's 36 questions you need to ask on your first date. And if you still like the person and you still get on afterwards, then it could be great.
Oh, right. I thought
if they answer some weird things and whatever, then it's time. I think it's one of those. That's what I took from it when I read it. I think I read it 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'll do it with a friend. And we did it with a friend. And it worked out really well. It's like, okay, surprised that we're good friends, but I think it's not like, it doesn't mean if you answer these together you will definitely fall in love.
All right, so you didn't fall in love with your friend.
No.
You're like, after the 36 questions, so that was nice. Anyway, do you fancy going for a drink?
We were already out for a drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's kind of designed like the 36 questions. You know, you could do this with someone that you're thinking about maybe getting together with, or like just going out on some dates, or with someone you've been with for a very long time, about just kind of refinding the intimacy, perhaps asking questions that you've not asked before or not thought to ask for a long time.
Could these questions be used in a non-romantic context?
I think so.
So what's the thing? What's the point here then? Are they specially worded questions? Are they all about love and romance?
Well, I think we should try them and then we'd find out.
But what if we all fall in love with each other?
We might fall in love with each other.
We already love each other, don't we?
But I think it's about, because love is about friendship and intimacy. So, you know, the closer your best friends, the friends you've known the longest, you know, you've shared those sort of very intimate moments with them. So
unfortunately.
But like, you know, you love them. So there's a different, there's all different kinds of love. I think you can still have
a platonic kind of love. Okay.
We're going to find out. If we do the 36 questions, we might fall in love.
Can you just tell me, though, what the 36 Wedding questions are? What kind of questions are they? I mean, we're going to find out in a minute because we're going to do them. But do you know anything about like the psychological?
I think they increase in intimacy. So sort of like a sort of first level question, like, oh, what do you think about this? Or, you know, describe something you might like a nice day. And then they get more, you know, perhaps a difficult memory. You know, they kind of go down into the depths. So they start light and then they get down.
Is this going to be publishable stuff? I mean, we get to like the end questions, they're not going to be like, what are your bank details? Or
they might be. Well, I think some of them we might not want to share with each other, or the Lepsters. We could skip them.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so let's just go through them.
You have the right to skip.
I'm on question number one.
So we've all got questions on our phones. There are 36 of them. I don't know if we're going to get through them all. We might skip some. We'll see. But anyway, we're going to just play around by asking each other some of these questions that were written by a psychiatrist or psychologist or something. And they're designed to increase intimacy between couples in order to try and, you know, bring people closer together and ultimately to help people fall in love with each other.
It says 36 questions on the way to love. Grab a partner, friend, lover, or stranger and get ready to get intimate.
Okay, then.
Or a Lepster.
Right, so you can find these by... there'll be a link on the page for this episode. You can find all the questions. I imagine that all the questions go in the same order. We all click start and here we are.
Yeah.
So let's take it in turns. Paul, do you want to ask the first question?
Yeah, why not? Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom...
Whom?
You're going to have to listen to the previous episode for that one. Whom would you want as a dinner guest?
So you can choose anyone to come to dinner. It's this old question.
Yeah.
I've heard this one before.
Yeah.
I could choose anyone in the world. Now, what about...
Alive or dead?
What about if I said... my answer to this question would be, obviously, I would invite my wife. Now, that would kill a potential love interest stone dead, wouldn't it?
don't say
if
that.
I was on a date with a girl and she was like, oh, you know, I thought we'd do the 36 questions. I think it'd be a really nice way to like get intimate. We're like, oh, yeah, all right then. First question, who would you like to take on a ideal dinner date? Oh, well, my wife, obviously. What? You're married. You never said that.
At least it gets that problem out of the way, Chris.
It does. I just wanted to let you know I am married. I'm already taken. But I'd take my wife. But other than my wife,
other than
I could
your
take
wife.
Someone else. And Alive or dead?
Let's say alive.
I don't know.
Oh, alive.
David,
okay.
David Crystal would be quite a good person. Because I could ask. He's the guy. Who's he? I told you about him like not 10 minutes ago. He's the famous.
The linguist.
Linguist. The guy who knows everything there is to know about language.
Okay.
I might have him and I can just ask him all those questions that I have about, you know, are we better at communicating now than we used to be or not? I'd say Professor David Crystal. That's my English teacher choice.
Okay.
What about you,
Amber? Good choice. I feel like I don't know, but I was reading... God, I'd take God. No, I was reading an article not long ago by, I can't say his name, George Monbiot? I
don't know.
And he writes about the environment and he is really interesting. I'd be interested to have him over for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I would go with Elon Musk, the Tesla CEO, because I think he's got some crazy cool ideas of how the world's going to turn out. And I think he's a very smart person. And I'd just like to chat with somebody who's got that sort of vision.
Okay. Mm. Can I just say that I do feel slightly more intimate.
Do you feel a bit closer?
I don't know. I just feel like I like you guys a little bit more.
All right,
now.
Shut up.
Just question two. I mean, we're not going to get through it if he's going to take the piss like that. I mean,
next question is, would you like to be famous? And in what way? Paul Taylor. Would you like to be... Are you famous? Is he famous, Amber, or what?
I would say he is a little bit famous, yes. Okay. I'd say sometimes... Yeah, I'd say Paul qualifies as famous.
In France, a little bit. I mean, the only reason I say that is that people stop me in the street and they go, oh, hey, love what you do. I like strangers, you know, who've never met me before. I think that's when you... Mm. Maybe can qualify as somebody of in the public eye is when people that don't know you come up to you and say hello and thank you and whatever.
But people who don't know me come up to me as well. They rarely say thank you.
Yeah, they ask you for directions.
Usually
they're
like, have you got any change? No, not today.
I think you have to want to be famous, Paul, if you want to be a comedian.
Yeah.
You can't not want to be.
Would you like to be famous in what way? In the way that I am.
Good.
I don't want to be a superstar like Rihanna or Chris Martin or Johnny Depp, where I can't go anywhere and have a normal life. I still want to be able to have a normal life, like get on the subway and the metro and again.
To be honest, though, it's funny you say that because I did see your career panning out just like Rihanna's career.
Did you? I was thinking more Beyonce. I was thinking Paul.
Paul's clearly the next Rihanna.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing a song about umbrellas because it makes sense. I'm English.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd like the fame for having done good work, basically, yeah. Yeah, I totally respect that, yeah.
Yeah, rather than just being like showing my ass on Instagram or doing vlogs that don't really interest anybody or doing, I don't know, I feel like I don't know. Yeah.
But do you not think it would help to show your ass on Instagram, Paul?
No, I don't have a nice ass.
Well, how do you know? Has Instagram judged
it? Instagram hasn't judged it.
I think we need to let the internet decide.
I think the internet needs to decide how your bottom is. We need a belfie.
A belfie?
It's a bottom selfie. Selfie.
Yep.
Right.
A belfie.
Yeah. Okay. All right then. What about you, Amber? Would you like to be famous?
Not especially. No.
No? All right. Good.
Luke, you're pretty famous.
You're quite famous already with the Lepsters.
Yeah, but I want to be famous like a ninja. What's the most famous ninja that you know?
Well, that's so it. I don't know any ninjas.
Exactly.
So a ninja fame.
Exactly. That's what I want. Stealth fame.
The guy,
I want to have the fame, but I also
Qui-Gon Jinn. No.
What? Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
He's the most famous ninja. He's not a ninja, though.
What did I just say? That's not
Qui-Gon Jinn is Liam Neeson in Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Liam Neeson. I am thinking about Liam Neeson, but in Batman.
Oh, Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. He's the most famous ninja I know.
How is that at your fingertips? How is Ra's al Ghul? I mean, come on. What kind of information
is stored? It was on TV the other day.
Al, they call him, his mates. All right, Al. It's Ra's al Ghul to you. So I'd like to be famous in that sense. Like, famous, but also unrecognizable, unnoticeable. Mm. Like, you know, Brian Eno, the musician? Eno? He is, you know, one of the most famous musicians going and, you know, did all that amazing work and stuff. And no one
knows who he is.
No one knows what he looks like.
Like Banksy.
Like Banksy, yeah.
Like Daft Punk.
Yeah, like Daft Punk.
They just walk around. They can probably get on the metro and just no one cares.
As long as they're not wearing their helmets.
Ugh. Oh, that'd be embarrassing.
Oh, shit, I forgot to... I forgot to take off the helmet. That's how they speak, isn't
it? Is that
it?
Their new single? Shit, I forgot to take off the helmet.
Featuring, like, you know, who would that feature?
I don't know.
The Stig.
François Hollande.
C-3PO.
And the Stig from Top Gear.
Right. And R2-D2 on drums. Yeah. All right, next question.
Okay, next question.
Amber.
Oh, yeah. Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why? Yes. Normally because it's in French and I'm practicing what I need to say because it's tricksy.
Yeah. I get very stressed out by telephone calls and I have to run through the whole thing myself.
Do you practice in English, though?
Yes.
As well?
Yeah. Okay. No, I obviously have to practice in French. I have to... you know, work the whole thing out in advance. But even in English, I get very stressed out by speaking on the telephone. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Why is that? Why do we get stressed out by the telephone?
I don't know. There's a Twitter account. I'm all about Twitter, called Very British Problems.
Twitter. He's all about the Twitter.
Have you heard of Very British Problems?
I have heard of that, yes. It's
very
good.
Very British Problems, speaking about the phone. There was one the other day, which was, the person you have called is not available. Please leave your message after the tone. And you're like, oh, phew. And no.
Yeah, like...
it's like, oh, thank God they weren't there and I'm not going to leave a message. Forget it.
Why are we so, like, scared of speaking on the telephone? What's the matter with us?
Awkward.
Don't know. But, yeah, I do... Yeah, I... Same thing. I rehearse. I rehearse the beginning. Like, I'm like, okay, good, this is what I'm going to ask for. And then usually, yeah, I don't rehearse the whole thing. And then it just happens and then whatever. And then it ends up being fine. It ends up being totally fine.
The end, though, is often the worst for me. It's like, I can't end it. I'm like, well, really great. Thanks so much. yeah. And they think someone else is coming. And I'm like, oh, shit, I've got nothing.
goodbye.
That's it then. And then they're like, he's a bit weird, isn't he? Nice, but a bit weird.
My girlfriend does that. She calls me. Just in a day, and I only found out recently why, like 3 days ago. So after 8 years that we're together,
she calls
me in the middle of the day, and she's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Hi." Silence, because she's called me, so I'm expecting her that the only reason she's called me is because she needs to tell me something,
right?
About, oh, can you go buy some milk? Can you go do this? Whatever the chore that she's going to make me do is. But she just calls me up and she's like, "Hi," I'm like, "Hey," nothing. I'm like, and I go, "So what?"
I thought,
and
that
she goes, "Oh, well, blah, blah, blah." And then I found out recently, she told me like 3 days ago, she's like, oh, no, I'm just calling you up because I just wanted to know how your day was being so far. I was like, oh, why don't you tell me that then?
I always just thought that was a girl. I don't know if this is outrageously sexist, but I always thought that was a girl thing, that like girls like to call you up.
Girls do like spending
time. Well, it depends.
It's just like, hi, and it's like, what? What now? What?
What do you want?
Nothing. Nothing in particular. Oh, okay.
Maybe it's a French thing because Nico. This is one of the things that he doesn't like. He travels a lot, and he'll phone me, and I hate talking on the phone. He'll be like, "Oh, hello." I'm like, "Yep, hi, yep." What is it? And he's like, "Well, you know, I've been away for a week." I'm like, "Yep."
Who are you? Who is this?
Is there some reason you're calling me? Because you're not dead, me neither. Let's move on, please. I
think
it's a French thing.
I think it's just English people don't like you.
I'd be surprised if he was calling you if he was dead.
But I just hate it. I'm just like, don't phone.
What is it?
Next question.
Okay. Well, okay.
What would constitute a perfect day for you? You don't have to ask that question in that way, but I like to do that.
Perfect day.
What would be a perfect day for you?
Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you.
Yeah, that song wouldn't be played on my perfect day. That's rule number one. That's it. The first thing is I'd wake up to the news that song had been banned by the BBC. Breaking news, perfect day. On Luke's perfect day, the song "Perfect Day" has been banned. Now I quite like the song, but not that much.
Yeah, perfect day or a good day. Perfect is too much pressure.
I would wake up late.
That's it.
Just a lie-in. That's already sounding good to me.
Just a big lie-in, because
a big lie-in. Yeah, but I did that yesterday, and I was depressed. I did today. Yesterday was like my first day off in about 6 months, where I had literally had nothing, no emails to answer, no phone calls to take, nothing. And by the end of it, I wanted to kill someone. I was so depressed. I was angry and grumpy. I got up at like 11, and it was horrible.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. So that I thought that was my perfect day for the last 6 months. I'm like, I cannot wait until I've got a day off, and I hated it.
Even though you had a big lie in.
Yeah, I would lie in, and then I don't know. Snowboarding. I like snowboarding.
Lying and then snowboarding.
Lying, snowboarding, and then or surfing.
Okay.
I don't know. Snowboarding's cool because it's just, I'm in the zone, and it's just, there's no noise in the mountain, and it's just very cool.
It's pretty good.
It's like exercise, you know. People are like, oh, I hate going running, but okay. I don't know.
So none of your loved ones appear in this day at all?
No.
None of the people?
Solitary activity.
Yeah, I'd be on my
own. You on your own on a mountain.
Totally. I'd be on my own.
Yeah.
Okay. While all your friends and family are falling over, unable to keep up with you.
Yeah, no, they're not even on the mountain.
Right.
They're just not there.
In another country somewhere.
Yeah, they're just not there. They're okay. All just for a day.
Amber Minogue, perfect day for you.
Perfect day. A perfect day would probably be doing something with my family. So Hugo and Nico and maybe some friends, you know, some sort of like lunch or picnic or activity. Where the kids were kept happy and not screaming. So I was like with them, but they were happy doing something on their own.
But you didn't need to look
I
after them.
I don't need
them.
To do anything.
With them, but they're like contained within like a glass dome.
Yeah, a cage, if you will.
A soundproofed glass chamber. And you're there, you can see them, but you can't hear them. And they can't see you.
Something like that.
That's your perfect day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Caging the children.
Right, just put them in a sealed, like sort of glass igloo kind of thing.
Maybe I could get a manicure.
And you just sit there and get a manicure.
Yeah, sounds great.
Or you just get a live video feed of them doing something really fun while you sit and get a manicure.
Yeah, have some drinks with some friends. Okay. Yeah, that sounds nice.
My ideal perfect day would be to wake up to the news that perfect day had been banned. and then I would have some kind of breakfast.
Oh, he's going to get into detail.
And then I'd go back to bed for a little bit of sleep.
Yeah.
And then get up. Just every day of my life is a perfect day.
Oh, there it is.
Well, we have pretty good lives.
Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah.
We don't really have shit days.
That's it. I don't know. That my answer to that question would change depending on whether or not I was on a date again. If I was on a date and they'd be like, what's your perfect day? I'd be like, well, obviously, you know,
hanging out with
cure world hunger and then just be modest. And, you know, maybe clean all of the degree certificates I have on the wall. You know, I don't know. Just talking shit. Next question is, when did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
Well, moments ago, Luke. Yes. Singing Perfect Day.
Just a couple
literally
of
literally moments ago.
That's right. Okay. What about you two?
This morning.
Well, same thing. I sang with you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And before that singing? When was that last?
The last time before that was probably in the flat. You know, I just picked the guitar up off the wall and just
did you
sang a little song.
I sang "Here Comes the Sun" to Hugo on the way to creche.
Here comes the sun. Oh, wow.
He likes it.
Does he really?
Yeah,
he's a Beatles fan.
Yep.
Good for him. All right, nice one. Paul, well, just a few moments ago.
Just
moments
all the time. Yeah. Okay, next question.
How have I gone through set one?
If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or the body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want?
What? Hold on.
If you could live to 90,
yeah,
but you could stay either looking or thinking like a 30-year-old.
Well, I would choose the body because I think that I get the impression that mentally, I'm improving, if anything. I don't mean to jinx myself. I'm touching wood there to maintain my good luck. But I think that mentally, I'm doing all right. So I would like to have the 30-year-old body until I'm 90, please. And I'll keep my brain as it is. I think my brain's probably not that bad. There you go.
Yeah, because even if you started developing Alzheimer's or something, like you started losing your memory, but you still had the body for it, it means you could wait. You do your bungee jump and then you forget about it. So you go bungee jumping the next day and it's just like a
That's right.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I'd prefer having the body.
To be honest, I have to take some issue with the question because I think they're the same thing. Your mind is based on the quality of your body, isn't it?
Mm.
Like if you are in poor health, if your brain is in bad condition, then that affects your mind, doesn't it? Like your brain is just made up of the chemical activity of your brain, which is a physical thing. So it's the same thing.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, that's
there you go. That's the end of that question.
I don't know. I would go with the mind.
You'd go with the mind.
I'd be much more scared of, you know, looking old is fine, but losing your mind.
It's not just looking old, though, is it? It's like being immobile, not being able to like eat properly, not being able to be comfortable. Not being out, you know, all those problems that you get when you're older, the physical limitations.
You can look after your body. You can obviously try to look after your mind, but it's a lot more mysterious.
Mm.
It's a tricky one because I do think they're linked as well. But there seems to be lots of sort of unknown things that can happen to your mind. Like I'd hate to, you know, like Alzheimer's, for example.
It's a physical disease, though, isn't it?
But it affects the brain.
It manifests itself in the workings of the mind, but it's based on physical. But
then surely everything mental is physical anyway, as you just said, because even if you've got a mental health issue, then in theory it's physical because your mind is a physical thing.
Hmm.
Well, it is a bit of a mystery because psychologists have been trying to work this out for ages, and there's like differences of opinion on whether or not it's all chemical or whether there are sort of other issues. Like, you know, Freud would say that it's the way that we behave and our emotional state is based on things that have happened to us when we're young. So, you know, the jury is still out on these things. But in my experience, people I've seen grow old mentally, they've been kind of the same person all the way up through the later years, but I've just seen a physical breakdown, a really tragic sort of physical deterioration, and yet they're the same person in there, inside this body, you know. So I would choose the body, and hopefully the mind would look after itself.
Hello. You'd make a lot of money. You could sell books on your lifestyle, how you've managed to look so young.
Yeah,
how to remain young. You eat. Shut up. Okay, all right, next question.
Next question.
Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
We need to explain what a hunch is.
A feeling.
A theory.
Like a sort of a prediction for the future. Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
No.
No, neither do I.
Paul, will it be
I know. I know how I would like to die, is jumping out of a plane without a parachute.
What, that's how you'd like to die?
Yeah, that's how I want to go, yeah.
That's not a way to go.
Yeah, it is.
That's a horrible way to go.
That's the best feeling ever.
It's a pretty good way to go.
Have you parachuted?
I've not. I've bungee jumped.
Parachuted, I would say.
Have you parachuted?
Because it's not shoot, S-H-O-O-T. It's C-H-U-T-E. So I think it's parachuted.
It's what?
Shoot. Parachute is C-H-U-T-E, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Not S-H-O-O-T.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be parashot, but parachuted, I think.
I have not.
Parashat.
Parashat.
For shit. It's like Paralympics.
Right.
Why?
I don't know. I've always wanted to jump out of an aeroplane anyway.
Mm-hmm. But you could have a parachute.
Yeah, I'll have a parachute when I first do it, but then I think it would just
later.
I think it would just be the feeling of, because you die straight away. There's no messing around. Like you'd need to be over somewhere.
Some people have survived.
Yeah, but they fall into bushes or trees. Like it would have to be, like I'd do it over a desert or over the water or something like that. Somewhere where I'm sure that I'm going to die if I fall.
Like, wham! And that's the end of Paul Taylor. Just obliterated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a way to go.
Just the quickest way possible, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Can I film it?
Yeah. That'll be the last What the Fuck.
Yes, definitely.
The last episode of What the
What
Fuck.
What the fuck, France? Splat.
That's horrible.
I don't know. It's pretty exciting. Like I'd quite like to go in some dramatic fashion, rather than just wasting away or dying in your sleep or something.
Mm.
Like, you know, witnessing the Earth get hit by...
Yeah.
A massive moon-sized asteroid.
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact or the one with Bruce Willis?
Oh, that one with that awful woman, you know, what's she called? Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst?
You know, isn't it You know the film where they, at the end, it's the impact, that huge impact.
Deep Impact.
With Morgan Freeman as president.
No,
and Elijah Wood.
No, 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 no. I think it might have two awful women. You know, isn't it the Lars von Trier film?
Lars von Trier, yeah. I know the one you mean.
Yes, 2012.
It's about the end of the world.
Yeah.
2012?
And they watched the impact.
The day before yesterday?
No, no, no.
It's, the day it's after a, tomorrow?
Much more arty, art house okay. type stuff.
The day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday.
It's the day after tomorrow, but anyway, I was close.
Melancholia.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
All right, then.
All right, let's move on. Name three things you and your partner appear to have in common. Why have they got appear to have in common?
Well, because you never know.
Because we don't.
We never know.
Oh, you mean the thing.
The person that we're speaking to.
The person you're talking to. Three things you got appear to have in common.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, like...
Oh, this is complicated. There's three of us, but...
Three of us.
Well, we're English.
We need nine things, do we? Or was that 12?
Let's think of three. 12 Let's things? Just think of 15, three. 15,
three things.
15 things?
No, because it's three things that we have in common, so the things are in
so
common.
What, 18 things?
No.
Three.
Three. Just three.
Three, but there's three of us.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but if it's three and there's two, they're all in common. So in theory, if we're all English, that's one thing that we each have.
And that's three. One plus one plus one.
No, it's not. It's not three things. That's one thing. A second thing.
But if it's three, one thing three times, that's three, isn't it?
No. No, because it's just one thing. Name three things that the three of us have got in common.
Three things
one,
that
we're
the
English.
Three of us have got in common. Oh, I see.
Jesus.
You're not saying.
I'm just taking
he's
a piss.
He's so wicked. We like comedy.
We like comedy.
We like comedy.
We're English comedians in France. There's English. Three things done.
Bam.
We're comedians. We live in France.
We all have those in common. Okay.
Right, next. For what in your life do you feel most grateful? What do you feel most... For what... Oh. For like the way they put a preposition at the beginning of the question. For what in your life do you feel most grateful? Or what in your life do you feel most grateful for?
Mm.
Taylor?
Me? Yeah. You start.
Minogue?
My family.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice. I feel most grateful for...
He's looking for something.
I was going to say my PlayStation 3, but I bought that for myself, so it's fine. Now, obviously, it's all my loved ones, all the people in my life that you know mean so much to me, my family, my beautiful wife. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask for much more. Your health.
Your health,
health,
yes.
And the right people around you. And the rest of it's just, you know.
Well, it does help if you're not in Syria or somewhere like that as well.
Yeah.
Because you can have health and loved ones, but be in imminent danger.
Well, that's not really health then, is it?
I mean,
that's...
It could still be healthy.
Well, health at the same time, health kind of almost is in your hands-ish. If you're born with normal health and you live like your childhood through normal health, it's very difficult for your health not to be...
I don't know, because some
things
stuff...
You can get hit by a bus.
Some stuff just happens.
Yeah,
you just
that's true.
You just catch stuff.
Yeah, you get cancer and that's just not your fault. Yeah,
it's
fair
not
enough.
Your fault. Yeah.
All right, fine.
Or depression.
Me, same thing.
Do you reckon if you were in a date right now and you'd gone through this many questions, would you already be like sleeping with the person? Do you think you would have got...
You'd be like, what are you grateful for that you're in my bed right now, love?
Yeah. If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
Ooh. I'd say I'd not let my son play with matches and knives, resulting in your scars and near-death experiences, if I was Paul Taylor.
Got some stories to tell, isn't he?
Yeah, no, what was the thing?
If you could change anything about the way you were raised...
Where you were brought up by your parents.
See, this is like a step into the intimacy.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've moved into a slightly sensitive zone here. Do you feel like you...
On one side, there's a couple of things. Yeah, there's you know, there's things where, like, I would have appreciated... Like, I look at people who've kind of lived in the same place all their life, or they've got, like, a set of friends that they've always had growing up and they go back to, or they're still there. I'm very envious of that kind of, like, really close family... feeling, which I've never had, because my family hated each other, and so you know, even my mum and her family, like, don't get on. My dad and his family don't get on, so I never really had this idea of family, because I up until the age of 9 I was with my parents, but then my parents split up and I was with my mum for a bit, then I was with my dad for a bit, and then I've been on my own since 18. So yeah, I think that the sense of family, it's not really through choice, though, so I you know, I can't say that. But having said that, all of those experiences have led to why I do what I do and who I am now. Yeah. So I wouldn't change anything. I'd live the same life because I'm happy where I am now, and that's all as a result of the consequences of the decisions that were made by other people and myself throughout that period. So I might not be a funny, I might not be as funny if I didn't have any struggles growing up. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I tend to, when you have these questions about like, what do you regret or what would you have changed about your past? I think it's, not very wise to start trying to imagine you had a different upbringing, because ultimately that's just another way of saying that you're not happy with the way you are now, right? Mm. Mm. So I agree with you, Paul. I just wouldn't really change anything because, I'm basically all right as far as I'm concerned. I'm quite happy with what I've got.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Amber?
As far as I can remember.
My sister and I have become close now that we're grown up, but I think when we were young, we weren't very supportive of each other. I think there was this sort of quite unhealthy environment. I don't know why that was, but that's something I think is a shame, spent all that time not really being
When did you guys start becoming close?
That's not the way you were raised, though, is it? That's just what you did when you were younger.
I don't know, because, there's that sort of... I don't know. I think it was something about how we were raised, so there was a lot of side taking. My parents are like yours, they split up, and there was this kind of, when people start taking sides and dividing and all that, that sort of, it all gets very complicated. Mm. We kind of got closer after I moved to Paris, like well into my 20s.
Okay. All right. So you would have preferred it a little bit if it hadn't been about taking sides when you were younger and you could have sort of,
been a bit closer, younger.
Closer to your sister from earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? Oh, I like that.
I know
that's
one.
Good, isn't it?
I would gain invisibility.
Okay. And in the realm of possibility?
Oh, what? Invisibility is not possible?
Sadly not.
A cloaking device or something?
That's just Harry Potter.
If I could wake up tomorrow having gained one quality or ability... I think it would be to make more effective use of my time.
Ooh, yeah.
To be able to really squeeze out every bit of juice from the day. Because as it is, I feel like I spend a lot of time, I'm very inefficient, and I do lots of procrastinating. And
I don't know how you feel like you're doing that with all the stuff that you're doing.
I know, but I still feel like that. Yeah. I still feel like I constantly am sitting around not doing enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I waste so much time.
Mm.
So that's what I would change. I'd like to be more, proactive or more...
Less...
More efficient, yeah.
Yeah, more efficient. Yes, yeah. Please.
I think I would like to be less... I'd be... to be more confident in general and less awkward in situations. Like, a friend of mine invited me to a thing. One of his friends runs the Casio G-Shock watch store... And he invited me out to like one of their events that's happening next week. And, it's like you get free drink and food and they give you a watch and whatever. Like it's one of those.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's one of those kind of like social events, like a art gallery opening or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you going? Because I can't go on my own. Like I could never go to a place like that and feel normal. Yeah. And I wish I could just show up and just be like, yeah, it's me, Paul Taylor. Like, hey, how's it going? My name's Paul. Good to see you. Yeah, thanks. And just be able to live in that kind of. A house party thing without being awkward what's weird is that kind of non capacity I have of being comfortable is now bleeding into like I'm just the example I use now is like when people come up to me in the streets and like, oh, I really like what you do, whatever, I get really awkward and really shy and really timid. Whereas before in life, it would be the same sort of thing, but just in different scenarios, like in house parties or wherever it was, I'm incapable of operating as a normal human.
It's funny that, because I haven't seen much evidence of that kind of awkwardness.
That's because we're friends, there's no need to be awkward.
No, but... not with us, but I see him interacting with other people. I'm like, he seems fine. Like,
perfectly fine. It's interesting because 36 questions, intimacy, we don't think of Paul in any way as sort of socially awkward or ill at ease. So it's kind of revealing to...
Oh, 100, to... yeah, definitely. It's I don't know, and it's weird because And when I used to work at Apple, people were like, well, hold on, for your job, you stand up in front of people and deliver training sessions. And for a hobby, you get in front of people and try and make them laugh. Like, there's no way you can be shy. And it was like a different, like, I really thought about it a lot, and I figured out what the specific thing was. And if le résultat attendu, I don't even know how you say that in if it's the expected result that I get up in front of people and do something, then I'm fine with that. But it's when it's not me specifically. If I go to a house party, it's no one's waiting for me to be sociable. You know, they're just waiting for me, whatever. And so at a house party, I'm very awkward. Like, I say hello, but it's just I have this really awkward English thing where I don't know who to say hi to. I don't really know how it works. Like, it's just I'm very awkward. And I think a lot of English people are like that.
Yeah.
And it's really, I hate it so much because I know that I can be sociable and I can be not awkward, but I just don't know how to do it in real life.
It's very interesting that performance for you is kind of easier because it's a very defined role. Mm. You know, the social role in a performance is like so much easier to fulfill. It's like basically I stand up and I talk and I make you laugh.
Yeah.
So much easier to know where the rules are than I'm standing in this group of people and should I be trying to make them laugh or should, you know, I don't know quite where I stand. Is it my turn to talk or should I be listening now and watch things? Should I remember and stuff? It's so much more complicated to just be in a group of people talking compared to being on stage where it's easy.
It's a really good example actually is like if people come to watch my show, they've bought tickets to my show and I go on stage, that's fine. But if we're like, if there's seven of us around a table and we're talking about something and somebody goes, oh, Paul, tell us that story about the time that you went to whatever, then I suddenly close in. I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk. Like, it's weird that all these people are looking, because I don't know why. I've got no idea why. And that's even before doing stand-up. Like, even, you know, I get on stage and I tell a story and there's 100 people watching me listening to the story. But when there's seven people and one person, because it's not it's not the expected thing that I, but if somebody's just gone, oh, what was that funny story about when you went to wherever? And I'm like, oh.
And like five people in the room are like, we don't really want to hear the story or whatever. Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, that was a long answer to say that the quality is that I would like to be less timid.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Amber Minogue?
Oh, decision making. I can't make decisions. It's really hard.
You said you had
hard.
It. You were straight away. You were like, oh, I know.
Decision making.
Because I already thought about this.
Decision making.
I can't make decisions. I hate it. I'm really bad.
Oh, that's what you want to get better.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were trying to decide what the quality would be.
No, I was surprised because I thought you'd chosen decision making immediately. It's like, what's the one thing you'd choose to gain? Decision making. I can't make decisions. Well, you seem to make that one fairly quickly.
I can't. It's so hard. But I'd already thought about it.
Oh, okay. While we were waffling on, she was thinking.
Yeah, you weren't waffling. Okay. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
I've dealt with some of these questions before on this podcast. Yeah, I've done some of these before. So wait a minute. If a crystal ball could tell you what?
About yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Or anything else.
Yeah.
So this
crystal
ball...
The lottery results.
It can tell me anything else at all.
Yeah,
I want to know the lottery results, please. It's a bit boring. I want to know why the universe exists. I want to know sort of... If there is a reason, I want to know the whole mystery of like how the universe started and if it's possible to explain why, then why. And how big is it? And just what is it?
You might not understand the answer. I think that's a dangerous question to ask.
Okay.
It's like when I asked about whom, I found myself getting very confused.
Right.
I regretted it.
So maybe I should ask, like, where are all my other socks?
Exactly. Something more useful. Where do they go?
Scale the question down a bit.
Yes.
And just be like, actually, can you just help me find where my socks go?
How do I cut an avocado without cutting myself?
Right.
Yeah.
Hashtag avocado.
What about you two? Would you ask something in particular? So the glass ball?
I suppose I'd want to know about the future because I'm invested in it. It's not for myself, but for my son. I'd want to know, is it going to be okay? Or is it just going to be a fireball of misery?
But if you learnt that it was a fireball of misery and then like within 20 years, it would be like, you know, the Matrix, you know, just sort of like...
I'd get a shotgun and I'd give us a whole family suicide.
You'd blow everyone's brains out with a shotgun.
No, but I suppose if you know about the future, maybe you could work towards improving it.
So if you know that it's going to be at a post-apocalyptic wasteland...
Could start stocking up.
You could start stocking up and you could teach little Hugo some knife-wielding skills.
Zombie sort of moves. Right. How to kill the zombies.
Yeah, like, you know, destroy the brain or remove the head.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul?
What year is the Earth going to end?
You want to know that?
Yeah.
Well, how would that help?
Because what I would do then is I would cryogenically freeze myself until like a year before that date.
And
just see what the world is like just before it ends.
Probably a zombie wasteland.
How do we know, is included in your information how the world ends?
It could be.
You could ask a double question, like how and when will the world end?
Yeah.
And the crystal ball would be like, I'm sorry, your answer is not permitted. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. That's a tough one. I think it's best not to know these things.
What does Siri say about the end of the world? Does Siri have an answer?
Hey, Siri, what's the question you want to ask?
When's the world going to end?
Oh. Hey, Siri, when's the world going to end?
Well, Unix 32-bit time overflows on the 19th of January, 2038. Maybe then.
She doesn't really know.
She's Unix not sure. She's hedging. Time.
You know, it says, "Hey Siri, what's the meaning of life?"
All evidence to date suggests it's chocolate.
Very good, Siri. I like the way you've given an ironic response to that question. Right, what's
is Siri funnier in different languages? Like, if you ask the same question to French Siri,
yeah,
would he or she say chocolate? Because yeah, that's a bit of a sarky comment. Yeah. Is that because it's British Siri?
I think so, yeah.
Evidence just, all right, what's the meaning of life? Look, I'll change it to
change
French.
It to French do, Siri do and see what French Siri on, says.
Well, because you know
this. See if he's less sarky.
So this is a little case study about the sense of humour.
And Siri.
You're saying that if French Siri doesn't give a funny answer, then it means that, what? It just means they don't use humour as much as we do.
Yeah, it's about the place of
yeah,
humour.
Yeah, come on then, let's go.
Quel est le sens de la vie?
Toutes les preuves à ce jour semblent indiquer que c'est le chocolat.
Ah, oh, voilà.
Oh. I got, so it's the same.
Same thing. What about Spanish? Can you do that one?
¿Cuál es el sentido de la vida?
Vida, fuerza o actividad interna sustancial, mediante la que obra el ser que la posee. Supongo que eso me incluye a mí.
All right.
Okay.
Ooh.
What was the answer?
It's basically,
it's literally what it actually is. It's like the force or internal activity of a thing that possesses life. And then at the end, it's like, I suppose that you mean me as well.
Spanish Siri is like Spanish spelling. It's just taking it literally, like exactly.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, they have real people. Well, they have real people that write the questions. And I obviously know one of them, because when I go, hey Siri, teach me to beatbox.
Here's one I've been practicing: boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots.
Really? So this is your doing, isn't it?
Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats.
Paul, you need to explain. You've got to explain this.
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, I made a series of videos called Taylor's Top Tips. And they were stupid videos. And one of them was how to beatbox, because I found a thing that you, if you say the word boots and cats over and over again, but you don't use your vocal cords. So instead of saying boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats, you just go boots and cats, boots and cats. Exactly. And so I made this video with my two cats and their boots, and this was the video.
And their boots.
Here's what you'll need to beatbox. Some boots and cats. Boots and cats and 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 boots and
cats. Okay.
So obviously somebody I know that works at Apple saw that video, and then because what they do is they invite a bunch of people every year or every 6 months to the headquarters to write some funny answers for some of the questions, because there are some really funny questions that you can ask Siri,
yeah.
And the answers are back. So there's real people that answer. So I guess somebody saw that and they were like, oh, I'm going to have that as a question.
Right.
And then they sent it to me like, hey, Paul, ask Siri what beatboxing is.
All right.
Anyway.
I like that. All right. One of Siri.
How do we get on to...
Doesn't matter. How are the intimacy levels?
They're normal for now.
They're normal?
Yeah.
Situation normal? Next question is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time, and why haven't you done it?
Oh, that's a good
Is there anything that you've been dreaming of doing, Amber?
I can't even say it.
And why haven't you done it yet?
Can't even say it.
Amber Minogue.
I've been trying to do a podcast, and I have nearly done it, but technology is getting better for me. But this week, it will
it's
be done.
Launching?
It's gonna fucking.
It's finally happening.
Gonna
Ladies
launch
and gentlemen,
this week. It's gonna launch this week. I promise.
You've the already podcast. You've I've all been waiting it. For.
Yeah. I know. I've promised it many times.
And you've got a.
I've got a website.
You've got a base of loyal
provider.
Listeners already there.
I can't
on a,
wait
on a
I
plate
know.
For you, Amber. They're all waiting. Like, just when is her podcast going to come?
I know. Lots of people have contacted me, but two people have contacted me, and I'm sure it's from your podcast, asking me. And that was Steve, who was asking. I said, you know, I can't work it out. Steve Kunake. How'd you say it?
Kunake? I don't know.
Steve, and he was asking me if I needed any help. I confided in him about the problems. And Rebecca, she called me. She sent me a little message asking if everything was going okay. Where is it? They were both demanding to know. So Rebecca and Steve, it's coming. Promise.
Okay.
this right. week.
When you type in Amber Minogue podcast into Google Images, this is what you get.
a picture
of the three of us on your podcast.
Hey.
Yep.
Let's move on. What is the greatest accomplishment?
You didn't answer that.
Oh, I no. didn't answer that. Well, it's the same thing, you know. I've been dreaming of doing this, some of my other
business.
Courses and things.
Oh, and you haven't done it yet.
And I haven't done that yet. But, you know, other things I've dreamed of doing. Let's see. What have I really dreamed of doing? I think I've done most of the things I've really wanted to do.
That's cool.
I mean, you know, obviously there's still loads more to do, but I think I've done a lot of the things I've always wanted to do. I'd like to do... you know, stand up on some big stage somewhere, but you know, I've done a little bit of that as well. So no, I just want to get all my work accomplished. Just want to accomplish my work projects and get some success under my belt, please. Yeah, Paul, do you have an answer to this?
Well, I kind of did the switching job because I dreamt of doing stand up and. Kind of made that a reality. I've always wanted to make a film, not necessarily act in it, but or do something where I'm, you know, I don't know where it's like the project, whether it's a TV show or a film or whatever, but to be, you know, to direct it basically, to direct a film or a TV show. So,
Well, you can still do.
There's still time for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Next question is a bit of a big one. It says, "What's the greatest accomplishment of your life?" I can't be bothered with that.
Let's move on.
What do you value most in a friendship? Just, you know...
Free tea.
The tea-making skills.
Yeah, oh yeah.
If you don't have a good friend that makes a good cup of tea, then he's not a good friend at all.
Tea-making skills. That's it.
Definitely.
Okay, next. What is your most treasured memory?
Oof, no.
Skip. What's your most...
I like how as soon as we're getting intimate now, it's like, no, as English people, we cannot do this.
Terrible memory.
What's your most terrible memory?
Oh, let's not go back there.
Let's not go back to that.
Oh, no, that's horrible.
Look, we've got to finish this in 10 minutes. We've got 10 minutes left.
Okay. Skip to the end then.
Knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, would you change anything about the way you're living now? Why? Yes, of course I would.
I'd become a lot more sort of communicative in terms of my emotions. I'd be telling everyone exactly how I felt about them. I'd be really boring. I'd become really boring and awful.
Nico.
Amber, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I really, really respect I really like your glasses.
Thank you.
And
so great of you to say so.
Paul, I really like your glasses as well. And I just really love everything you've done with What the Fuck France. I really like it.
I'd become to a dinner party. Boring. And he said, I'm too old to do things I don't like. I'm not going. Because there was just some friends of his that were really boring. And I was like, that is brilliant.
I love
that. Yeah.
I would pack up and travel.
Yeah.
Go around travelling. Yeah, I reckon.
I've
pack
got,
up,
yeah,
travel.
I think I've got probably enough in the bank to last me 1 year of travelling. Not in 5-star hotels, but just I want to see the world before I die, you know?
There's a lot of queuing involved in that.
Well, in travel?
Yeah, travelling around
queuing
the world.
At the airport.
Now, people are always like, I'm going to travel around the world. You mean you're going to stand in an airport a lot of the time?
Yeah.
You could road trip around. I would not travel. I hate travelling, but... a road trip.
So you're going to sit in one position in an uncomfortable American car.
Who is it? Is it Jerry Seinfeld? I think very funny joke where he's like, "Yeah, basically all life is is finding a different chair to sit on.
Yeah, like that's right. you sit in this chair and then you go out and you can sit in another chair is just, you know, just going from one chair to another chair.
Yeah, your whole life is just going from one chair to another. You go to work, you're sitting on another chair. Then you go home, you're sitting on a chair. We're going to go out for a movie. Well, we're going to go sit in another chair.
Yeah.
Going out for dinner, sitting in another chair. It was just like a whole existential thing of just sitting in chairs.
What's the deal with sitting in chairs?
All right, next question.
Right. Okay. Are we nearly through this yet?
I don't know.
No, there's three segments, I think.
Oh,
I
no. know.
What does friendship mean to you?
Oh.
I've already established that. It's okay, that's tea-making ability.
Okay. Get into the next section. We're in the pink section. Keep going.
Family.
How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
Ooh, oh, no one should know about that. Oh, okay, set two complete. We're in green. This is looking better.
Continue set three.
Make three true we statements for each. I think we don't care about each other enough. We're both feeling in the need of a cup of tea.
Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share. Like, no, I don't. I honestly wish I had someone with whom I could share anything. Like, if I've got some biscuits, I don't want to. I don't want to share them. I want to eat them all.
Bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine. Okay. Yeah.
No, I was going to say no. I don't want to share that. Okay, share. Okay. This is embarrassing. When did you last cry? I cried just the other day.
In front of another person.
At an advert, I'm ashamed to say.
Oh, yeah?
An advert. And I had real tears welling up into my eyes. I didn't even put the sound on. It was on Facebook and it was enough to set me off. I've become very emotional.
What was the advert for?
I don't know because I didn't put the sound on. It was like a rugby team in Japan.
Must have been an awful product if it made you cry. Oh, God. Oh,
I remember crying at an advert.
Adverts make me cry and I'm embarrassed that I'm so
adverts
fucking
make
cheap.
Adverts make me cry because I feel sad at the extent to which capitalist society is infringing on my daily life.
I want that to be the reason.
Is that the immediate thing that you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, God, why do I have to have these adverts? I don't want to buy a car.
They are bad adverts, Kai. Sometimes the thing is, it's embarrassing. Adverts are so good, but they're awful, but they're great.
Yeah.
Mm. When did you cry?
The last time I cried, in front of another person as well, it's what it says. By yourself, it says as well. I don't know. Mm. It's a difficult one. It's probably when Addie's grandmother passed away, which was in March last year.
Mm. March last year? You've not had a cry for a year?
You haven't cried for about 14 months.
Are you made of stone?
No, I think I've become very emotionally cold over the years of moving house and changing friends and all that kind of stuff. I don't think there's not a lot that... But like adverts or videos and things like that can make me go, yeah.
Okay. Mm. For me, it's films. Going to the cinema. I do like a little cry in the cinema.
Yes.
I do. If it's a decent film, if it really gets me... Then,
it doesn't even need to be a decent
then
film.
It's not a proper cinema experience unless, you know, a little tear, unless you start welling up at some moment.
Every time I watch The Pursuit of Happiness, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Finished.
Yeah. Buxton often asks that question, is there a song that always makes you cry?
Yeah.
Is there a song that makes you
cry?
There's
a number of songs that make me cry. One of them is from the Blade Runner soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
The one that... The sort of saxophone song in the Blade Runner soundtrack, which you don't know, but it's just immensely sort of, I don't know how to describe it really. It's just like this aching kind of existential, I don't know how to explain it really, but it instantly reduces me to tears. Well, not instantly, but it does make me cry.
Yeah.
And other stuff is some David Bowie songs, weirdly enough, like Ashes to Ashes gets me. You know the one?
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but that always seems to get me somehow. What about you?
Oh, lots of songs make me cry, but there's nothing particular that I could ever pinpoint. Yeah. I cry very easily.
Mm.
Paul? Songs that make you cry, yeah.
There was one, not anymore, but there was a period when I left Spain when I was like 16 and I never really got a chance to say bye to anyone because it was just like, oh, you're not going back to Spain anymore. Oh, really? Okay. And there was a song that...
So now you hear like what sort of...
No, it wasn't even Spanish songs. No, it was Nora Jones. Don't Know Why I Didn't Come. I don't know what the... Don't Know Why, I think is the title of the... But yeah, it was just one of those. It was a song that, I don't know, I listened to with one of my, my roommate when I was sharing a room with this Russian guy. Stanislav. Yeah, bullshit, I don't believe. That was his favourite phrase.
And this is what makes you cry?
Paul, you drink like pussy. Yeah, it was. That was it. Yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those songs that just hit off an emotion. There's a couple of Coldplay songs as well that do that for me. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's no accounting for it, really, is there? It's just...
It's important to have a cry, though.
Oh, yeah, it's a very good way of getting things off your chest.
Yeah.
We've got 3 minutes.
What if anything is too serious to be joked about?
Boring.
What if anything is too serious to be joked about?
Nothing. I think.
Oh, I don't know. I think you can joke about anything, really.
Yeah, it's just how you go about it.
I might not laugh, but you can do it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone...
Oh, no, let's move on.
What would you regret? No, I don't regret anything.
Your house containing everything you own catches fire after saving your loved ones and pets.
No.
Your house catches fire and...
You can save one thing.
You can save one item.
There's got to be a positive thing in there. We don't want to finish
I'd save... if my house caught fire...
The picture of the queen.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd save... The pack of digestive biscuits that I've got in the cupboard.
Great.
Hobnobs.
Yeah. All right, so that's that one.
Oh, death.
Death. It's all about death now.
Yeah. Oh, let's move on. Section 3 complete. Oh, this is the last one.
Staring into your partner's eyes for 4 minutes. Okay, let's do that. So, and then we'll end the podcast on just staring into each other's eyes.
So this is the last thing. You know, the eyes are the window to the soul.
Oh, that's it? That's the last thing?
That's the last thing.
Stare into your partner's eyes for up to 4 minutes?
Up to 4 minutes.
If you can, I'm not surprised this works, because if you can stare into someone's eyes for up to 4 minutes, then you're almost obliged to have sex with them afterwards, aren't you?
How awkward would it be not to?
Those are the rules.
The eye staring might last longer than the sex.
Hey!
Depending on how excited you are. Okay, well, listeners, I wonder if you feel like, you know, you've got to know us a little bit, maybe even loved us even more than you already did. Is that possible?
I think they love us less.
You think so, probably? Yeah.
What's that song?
So.
I love you less and less because of my TV. It's a French song. Julien Doré, I think, is the guy.
Oh, I like Julien Doré.
I hate him so much.
He seems like such a cock. And he just seems like such a little ass. A bit like, you know, what's that actor, Romain Duris?
Oh, yeah.
He seems like a real
Romain Duris.
Yeah, but I like that too. It's kind of a style.
Who's Romain Duris?
He was in
the Auberge Espagnole.
Auberge Espagnole.
And the Beat My Heart skit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's been in lots of good films.
Oh, yeah.
And some shit ones.
I know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. French actor. Mm. Okay. Right. Well, you two, thank you very much for being on another episode of my podcast. I hope that the listeners feel like... that they've, you know, got to know us a little bit better, and they can go away and play this game as well. They can, if they're on
a
date,
they can find the 36 questions. Maybe they're on a date, they'll ask some of the more intimate questions that we skipped.
They could do it on the date, or if they are in their like conversation groups where they get together and speak English to each other, they could use the 36 questions randomly and ask each other them, and you know, get intimate and
get to know each other.
Get to know each other.
Have you found the song?
I found the I Love You Less and Less song.
Go on then. Go on then.
It's coming.
That's what she said. Baby, I love you less and less because
of what you've done to me. Baby, I love you less. I cannot stand the way it says done.
Yes, that's wrong. Because of what
you've done. Don.
And then it's in French. But yeah, he can't pronounce the word done, and I cannot stand it.
I thought he said told.
No.
It's done, is it?
It's like Christine in the Queens. Heartless.
What do you mean?
She can't say it.
She goes, how could you be so à l'aise?
How could you be so à l'aise?
And it's heartless.
Heartless.
Yeah. Heartless.
That is pretty far away, isn't it?
It is.
You helped write an episode of What the Fuck France with that exact joke in it, and you're like, what?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, you did.
Got on it all.
Good work.
Yeah. All right then.
All right, listeners.
Speak to you too soon, and speak to all the millions of Lepsters soon as well. All right, you're going to join me in saying goodbye to everyone.
Certainly.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. Speak to you again soon, but for now, it's just time to say goodbye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Luke's English podcast.
Can't touch this.
This is a masterpiece of the English language.
Alrighty then.
Just think of the accolades it's received over the years.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Really?
Yes. I will.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Luke's English Podcast.
And this is Britain at its best.
You lucky people!
So that was 36 questions that lead to love with Amber and Paul. I wonder how you feel now. Do you feel all intimate and close? I wonder. If you were counting the questions, you'll see that we skipped some of them, but that's our choice, isn't it? I think on balance, we probably did become slightly closer than before, the three of us. There were some particularly revealing moments where Paul was talking about his lack of confidence in social situations, which is a bit of a surprise considering how I often observe him showing no signs, no obvious signs of social awkwardness. But it just goes to show that you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Of course, we didn't take the whole thing completely seriously. For example, at the end, you're supposed to stare into each other's eyes at the end of all the questions for 4 minutes. But we didn't do that because obviously that wouldn't have been particularly interesting for you to listen to. And it's fairly hard to stare into two people's eyes at the same time. But anyway, all the questions are available on the New York Times website. You can just, in fact, you just Google 36 questions that lead to love and you'll probably find it. So check them out and you can use those questions yourselves in a variety of situations, either on a date maybe, or with friends, or with your language partners, or with your language groups. And those questions could provide a nice way for you to practice talking about feelings and personal thoughts in English. And if you fall in love with someone as a result, well, that's just a nice bonus, isn't it? And on the subject of falling in love with things, if you've fallen in love with Amber's voice and you're wondering when Amber's podcast is going to come out, her podcast about the history of Paris, well, let me tell you, it's still not ready yet. And I will announce it on the podcast as soon as it is online, okay? It takes a long time to get these things ready. You know, getting your head around the technology, writing, recording, working out how to publish, building a website, setting up your podcast feed, getting it on the iTunes store and all that stuff. It takes time and it's not as easy as you might think, especially when you've got all those other things in your life, like Amber, for example. She's looking after her son and doing all the other things. So just hold your horses for a bit. Her podcast is on the way, okay? And you'll be the first to know about it when it does go online. That's the end of this episode. Don't forget to join the mailing list on my website. In the top right-hand corner of every page, you'll see a little form where you can put your email address in. Stick your email address in there, and then when I upload new content, you'll get a nice, discreet email in your inbox with a link that will take you directly to the page where you'll see things like notes, bits of transcription, and other little bits and pieces that I share with you, and also the comments section where you can take part in conversations, chat with other listeners, and generally sort of leave your thoughts and feelings about each episode. Okay, so please do that. It's nice. Get involved. Join the fun. Okay, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. For listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.